Note the Vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. It's myself, Mahmoud, alongside me, as always, the three-time NBA champion, Mr. BJ Armstrong. What up, though, B?
Hey,
How you living out there?
It's all love, boy. It's all love. All love.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, we start today's episode with some sad news. Damian Lillard will be out indefinitely after being diagnosed with a blood clot in his right calf. Chris Haynes says that Lillard is on blood thinners, which has stabilized the blood clot. He will still continue with regular testing to get him back to good health. This is very, very worrying because a blood clot is a serious issue. But also for the Bucks, the usual recovery time starts at like 3 months for this, which means Damian Lillard will be out most likely for the rest of the NBA season. Milwaukee Bucks are currently 40-31. That's fifth in the Eastern Conference. Obviously, this is very sad news, and we wish Dame a speedy recovery. But BJ, the Milwaukee Bucks are in, they were in a tough predicament. They're in an even tougher predicament now because they're really all in on trying to win with this team. Brooke Lopez, as we discussed previously on the show, is 38 years old. Dame Lillard in his 32. Giannis, another year of his prime, more than likely wasted as they won't be competing for a championship. What does this Milwaukee team do in moving forwards to try and win a championship with Giannis Antetokounmpo, or is it time to maybe move some pieces around and look to go in a younger direction? How are you looking at this if you're Milwaukee?
Well, you know, it's a very unfortunate situation, man. It's a very sensitive situation when you have the health of one of your, any player, in particular in this situation, with one of their primary players. So, you know, when this team is healthy, I still think they always have a chance because of Giannis, his presence, what he does on both ends of the floor. You know, let's not forget prior, you know, to, you know, that trade and all of the things that have happened there. They've had a coaching change. Chris Middleton's health was a big concern. Damian came. There has been a lot of change in Milwaukee. So I'm not deterred by the problems that exist in an NBA season, the problems that you have with constructing a team. And one of the primary things that you need is you need your health. And it's just been a very unfortunate situation there in Milwaukee because of health. You know, now you know, with Chris Middleton, he was out for an extended amount of time. Now the situation with Damian Lillard. So, you know, it's part of it. It's part of, you know, just part of the draw. So I just hope that Dame and his family and all the people there in Milwaukee, you know, just, let's put things in perspective. You know, this is a health issue. You know, we've had that with now what, Victor Wembanyama as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm not ready to trade and move on and do all those things. You have to have health. And when you don't have health, this is what happens. And so I'm not ready to move on. As long as Giannis is there, and you'll always have a shot. And I want to keep things in perspective. I'm not ready to move forward and blow up the team and do all those things.
Well, the reason I say that is they won the championship in 2021. Following that, the next year, they lost in game 7 in the conference semifinals in the Grant Williams game to the Boston Celtics. But the last 2 years, they have been first round exits from the playoffs. And obviously they've had injuries. As you mentioned, Giannis has had some injuries when it came to the playoffs as well, which obviously limited them significantly. But Giannis now at 30 years old, you know, they won a championship in 2021 at the start of his prime, you know, 26 years old. Now 30 years old, Dame is 34, Brooke Lopez is 38. That's kind of your big three of players. Kyle Kuzma has not been who maybe they thought they were getting in Kyle Kuzma. This team isn't good enough to win a championship this season, even if they were all healthy. As good as Giannis is, there are just other teams that are constructed better. And looking,
I mean,
at
that's
next season,
that's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
And looking at next season, they're not going to be. Are they going to be better than they were this season? I can't see a way of that happening. I can't see moves that they can make to make that happen. They're going to rely on internal development of their young guys, and I've not seen too much that would make me think that, oh, next season maybe the Milwaukee Bucks can get it together and be a contender. So you've got one of the best players of a generation at 30 years old. At what point does he come out and say that he wants to be in a different situation where he has the chance to win? Or at what point do you decide in your organization that this experiment hasn't worked? We need to move on.
You know, people hide behind winning. You know, we put this imaginary, you know, like all be all behind winning. Well, I'm going to go there because I want to win. Okay. I have yet to met a player in my association with sports where your whole idea is not to win. That's. Yeah, I haven't met a player say, no, I want to play the game because I don't want to win. I don't want to be a part of a winning organization.
There are some players out there that exist that they just want the money and they don't really mind.
Okay, that may that's possible. I just
They
never met them.
exist. I've met them.
Okay, I have never met them. I've never been in a locker room or someone has
Oh,
said
they ain't
that
gonna
to
tell
me.
you at work. They're gonna sit in the locker room and say they don't care about winning. Do you know what I mean? But I can assure you
Yeah,
that they
I
do
mean, I'm
exist.
sure I'm not doubting that they don't
In
exist.
private, there are players who are just looking to get paid, and the winning, they're not too fussed.
That may be the case. I've just never met them. I haven't met anyone here. And until I meet that person who said, hey, I don't want to win, I'm not mad at you for wanting to earn a living. Can't be mad at that. I'm not mad at you for putting yourself first. Reason I'm not mad at that is because that's why we play sports, is to unselfish, selfish behavior. So all of those things seem very normal to me. What I've never heard was anyone that intentionally came out there and said, I don't want to win. You may not have their priority winning as number one, but I've never heard anyone say, I'm playing the game just so I can't win. Never
No,
heard that.
no one's actively trying to lose.
Yeah, okay. So with that, I just prefer to just like say, okay, everyone has priorities in which they prioritize their why. Okay, and your why, my why, has always been is to participate in a group function, in a group setting. I love playing. I love being part of a group. Love it. Like, if there's anything that I could do that I enjoy more is to be a part of a group. And we all have a single focus. Nothing compares to that. Nothing compares to that. I don't care how much money you make. I don't care what you do. Is to be a part of a group that has a single focus. Nothing is better. But that's my why. So, but I mean, if that's the case, so be it. But I've never met that individual. If you're trying to be a part of something that's, you know, your why of why you play sports, what is your reason for playing sports? And more importantly, you know, the friendships and all the things that you attain by being a part of. And but that's everyone's different, and I can respect that.
Okay, and how does that pertain to the Milwaukee Bucks?
How's it pertain? Well, Milwaukee right now is in a situation where their health, it's just real simple. Their health is not where it needs to be. And that's just the luck of the draw. It's no, I don't have a problem with that.
But this is a roster that now, for the last going on 4 years, has chalked issues up to health. Oh, if we were healthy in 2022, if we were healthy in 2023, if we were healthy in 2024, if we were healthy in 2025.
Okay, so let's look at it. Did they have some key players that were not healthy due to injuries?
Every team deals with injuries. Every team deals with health.
Well, there you go. That's it. If you're telling me Giannis was not healthy, if you're saying Giannis was healthy and you believe he's not, say that. If Giannis was not healthy and he was not available. That's what it is. You deal with it. Sports isn't about, everyone loves to tell me what happened yesterday to predict what's going to happen in the future, but sports only happens in the now. It's now is what's going on. Was Chris Middleton not healthy? Yes. Was Giannis not healthy at a key moment in the scheduling? Yes. Did they make a change in the coaching? Yes. Is Damian Lillard right now not healthy? Yes. Now, timing is the issue, because you can't live in the future in sports. You have to do it right now in that moment. In this moment in time, they've had very unfortunate luck with their health. That's it. Now, with Giannis, we're all saying they could be. But if he and others are not available, it's very hard for your Celtics to win if Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown is not available.
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's what I said. It applies to every team.
No team is going to excel without their key players being available. We say it all the time, so let's apply it to the Milwaukee Bucks.
Okay.
The best ability is availability. If your best players aren't available, you decrease your chance to winning.
Okay, but
and if you're going to punish the players for being injured, trade them. If that's your take,
is
I don't
no
have
punishment
to
of being injured. What I'm saying is, even when this team has been healthy, they've not looked like a contending team.
Okay, so when have they been healthy for the last 3-4 years as a group?
Over this recent stretch, since the trade deadline with their new lineup, they've had games with their team available to them, and they've not looked good.
Okay, so let me get this right. They just traded Chris Middleton, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so what's the rule that we always abide by?
Are you at 20, 25 games?
5 games.
I
say the same thing. I'm just going back. So when you abide by your principles, the principles of this game is, it's very difficult to have a championship caliber team without a training camp and years of development. So I'm just going to get Kyle Kuzma, insert him into our system and say, see, we're, no, that's not how this works. This is not a video game. They're actual human beings. They actually need time. Kyle Kuzma was coming from the Washington Wizards, and you need time. And then you're taking away Chris Middleton. Chris Middleton was an elite all-star caliber player. So I don't understand how we make these assumptions without abiding by the principles of
okay.
the game.
Okay, let me ask you. Even with a full training camp, all right, they have a full summer to get Kyle Kuzma integrated
mm-hmm.
into their team.
Mm-hmm.
Next season, 39-year-old Brook Lopez, 35-year-old Damian Lillard, full training camp Kyle Kuzma, if that's the answer to your problems. Do you look at the Milwaukee Bucks as a serious contender next season?
Yes.
Aside from the logic of Giannis is that
yes.
good, he can carry a team.
Yes, because wherever Giannis is at, you're going to have the expectations. With Giannis on anything, you can put him on any team in the league right now, and he is going to change the outlook of your team. That's a fact.
Yeah.
Giannis.
He will raise the floor of your team, but you're not looking at winning a championship with every single team just because they have Giannis. It's a team game.
Every team with Giannis will be forced to look at what's necessary to win a championship because of his ability. Every team. You can put him on any team. You could put him on the worst team in the league right now, and the first question, I guarantee you, you'll get in the press conference, you have an elite player. How far are you away from winning a championship?
So how far away are the Milwaukee Bucks from winning a championship?
Milwaukee Bucks are right now, until they are fully healthy, with a full roster, with a full training camp, and they have an extended amount of time, we cannot accurately address Well, what does this team really
But
need?
this is
Now,
you
if you
say.
have, but no, but if you want to say you don't believe it, then just say, hey, Mo says
No,
he don't believe it.
you say, tell me something before it happens. Don't tell me after it's happened.
Okay, so
Okay, so tell me
tell me
before it
no.
happens. Next season, the Milwaukee Bucks all get healthy. They have a training camp. Do you think that this team, if they say they don't make moves, but they have their training camp and everyone gets healthy again, you think this team,
This team.
with their lack of perimeter defense, with their clunky
Yes.
offense, you're going to seriously sit here and tell me this team is capable of winning a championship?
Yes. Yes.
Because
I'm going to
just because of
seriously.
Giannis, and
Just
that's it.
because of Giannis. Giannis is that good of a player. Giannis is capable.
Yeah,
He can
he is
carry.
definitely that good of a player, capable of carrying. But this is
Yes.
a game that relies on a team to win a championship. No one player wins
Okay.
championships. Teams win championships, right? When they won the
Okay.
championship in 2021, they had one of the best perimeter defenders in the NBA. They had two of the best rim protectors in the NBA. They had one of the best isolation scorers. He's a top-tier isolation scorer in Chris Middleton. So you had all of that. Now you have Brook Lopez is going to be 39 years old. You have Damian Lillard, who's going to be 35 years old. You have Giannis, who's now 30, maybe still in his prime, definitely still in his prime. But the pieces around him aren't as good as the pieces that were around him in 2021. So no matter how good one individual talent is, have you ever seen one person win a championship by themselves?
Well, we're talking about a team sport. No one's
Exactly.
ever done that. We're not.
Exactly, but your logic for them being a contender is Giannis is that good.
Okay. Let me put it another way. Giannis is a very rare player.
Yes.
He's a
Yes.
very rare player. Okay. Until Giannis is not available, I'm going to always give them a chance until he's not available. Until he's not available. Now, so you say, well, Brook Lopez is 39 years old. Well, Brook Lopez played in a system where they defended differently than they're currently defending.
Exactly.
Teams change the way that they play. This roster has changed their personnel. They've changed coaches. They've changed a lot of different things. Until I can see this team for an extended time. Whether or not it happens or not, hey, who knows? I can't predict the future like that. But until I can see this team play for a minimum of 25 games, a minimum, until I can see what and how you're going to utilize Damian Lillard with Giannis.
This will be the third year of the next season will be the third season, them trying to figure that out.
Until I need to see it with Doc Rivers. Okay. This is Doc Rivers' first year with a training camp. Okay. Until I need to see it. So you've had him there for 3 years. You've changed the coach midstream. They were, if I remember correctly, they were in first or second
They
place.
were pretty good before they had Doc Rivers.
It's okay. There has a lot, there have been a lot of changes within that organization. Okay, that's the NBA. If you believe that, Mo, stand out there on the island and say what you believe. However,
I said it.
okay, well, and I respectfully disagree. And
Yeah,
that's
that's
now we
cool.
can move on and we
That's
can move
cool.
on. But I will say this. I will say this. The importance of health is absolutely necessary. And at whatever team Giannis is on, I'm going to hold him to a championship level. A championship level and a standard because he set the standard that high. He is that good. He is that good. And until you can tell me that, well, with this team in a seven-game series, that you can just beat him because he doesn't have whatever. No, I'm not buying that. Because when you guys won that series, you needed superhuman efforts from. You got contributions that were very unlikely in that series. It could have easily not happened, and we wouldn't even be having this conversation. But you got one for Grant Williams was one. I remember Al Horford had a game of games. You're going to need those level of efforts to beat him. And in any series that he plays in, he's going to demand that you have superhuman efforts to beat one guy. Because we know one thing about Giannis. The man will never give up. He's going to keep on playing no matter what. And he is capable. He can do it, just like Jokic. He can do it. There are some players that you have to hold to a different standard. So if you want to apply a truly great superstar player and put him in the same category as the other players, that's the mistake. There are a few players that are just a little different. Tim Duncan was a little different. Shaq was a little different. Kobe was a little different. There are some that you got to hold to a different standard. Giannis is in that category.
Let me ask you a question. On yesterday's show, you said that Kevin Durant and Devin Booker could play in any era. Do you
Yes.
believe that Giannis is a player that could play in any era?
Yes, why wouldn't he?
Do you believe that if Giannis Antetokounmpo played in the 1970s, he could score 250 points in a game?
Are we being serious here, or are we
Well,
just?
this is a quote from LeBron James on the Pat McAfee show.
Well,
He
no.
says, "You
I'm
trying to
not.
tell me
No,
Giannis
hold
wouldn't be
on,
able to
hold
play an
on,
NBA game in the
hold on,
70s? Giannis would have 250 points in a
hold
game
on.
in the
Okay, hold on.
70s." Obviously,
Okay,
a slight
hold on.
exaggeration. Well, I hope a slight exaggeration. But I'm surprised you didn't see that coming
Let's let let let's
from I
let's
teed this up from the start of
let
the
let let's let's
episode.
take let's put things into the con into context. First of all, if we took how we play today with the equipment and all of the things that we had and just transformed it back into the 70s, you would have a person that would look completely out of place.
Yeah, they pull an
Because
iPhone out of their pocket and then no one would be like, what the hell is this?
no one would be doing step throughs. Okay. There wouldn't be a such thing as a five out offense. There wouldn't be the equipment, and put it like this, I can assure you this, just by the equipment alone, he wouldn't be running as fast as he's running now. Okay, there were no Nike sneakers with cushion on the bottom. Okay, the basketball would feel a little different. The travel would be a little different. The food and all of these things would be a little different. There's no training. Look how Giannis has built up his body. Do you think, here's a thing. All of the things that enhance the game today has evolved to give you how it looks today. If I gave Bill Russell and these guys the same training, the same equipment, access to film, and all of these things, well, the game would have been different. So if you're just telling me I'm just gonna allow someone to train in 2025, put them in 1970, and play the way that the game looks today, if that's what you're telling me, okay. I was in the 1970s. Well, that wasn't happening. Okay. So let's get that out. Whatever was said was said. I'm not taking these things out of context. I'm not into shock TV or shock whatever.
I don't know. Like, so they
But
released this clip. That I'll just give you
let
the
me.
context. I'll give you the context. They released this clip before the full show comes out in a few hours' time from now when we're recording, just for context. I don't know if he's being serious.
And
I
so I'm
don't
saying,
know if
listen,
he's being
Mo.
obviously he's exaggerating, but I don't know. Sometimes I think like he really wants to say that he would score 250 points in the 70s, but he don't want to say that. So he's gonna say Giannis would do it instead. That's how I'm hearing it. Like he wants to really, what
I
say what you really
saw I
feel.
saw Giannis in Greece. I saw Giannis in Greece. I saw Giannis as a young player when he came here. And I've given him credit for what he's done, how he transformed his mindset,
Absolutely. It's an
how
amazing
he
story.
worked on his game, how he continues to add new things to his game. More importantly, you can see physically what he did to his body to be able to play the level of physicality. And how he's been able to maintain and shoulder the responsibility. Now, remember, Mo, if he were playing in the 1970s, there was no such thing as ISO basketball.
No.
Okay. There was no such thing as five out offense in
This
the
is
way
what
that
I
they
was
do
gonna
it.
say. Like, the spacing that Brook Lopez affords for Giannis to do what he wants. First of all, if Giannis played in the 70s, he'd be a center. He wouldn't be able to be the power forward that he is like this, the way that he plays. And then second of all,
And we saw Giannis in the 70s. His name was Wilt Chamberlain. We saw him. This is what's amazing to me is everyone thinks that the world just started. We saw him in the 70s. His name was Wilt Chamberlain. That's what we saw. What's the difference? What's the difference?
Well, I have a point to make that I think people won't like. The way the game was officiated, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, the way the game was officiated back then, I think Giannis would get called for a whole lot of travels and a whole lot of carrying if he played this style of basketball in the 1970s.
Mo, this is the problem. Sports is only played now.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. You can't put a guy from
Trying
now in the
to
semis.
put someone in a different timeline with different rules. It's not happening. These are conversations that are just fun to have. You put a clip and then you put it here and then everyone interject. Okay, I'm not going for that. Whatever was said, it was said. I lived in the 70s. I lived there. My parents, once or twice a year, would take me to Cobo Hall in Detroit, Michigan, to watch an NBA game. I saw an NBA game as a kid in the 70s. I can remember. My mom and dad, once a year, we'd save up to, well, they would save up to take me to a game at Cobo Hall in Detroit. I was there. Some of us are qualified to make that call. We were there. I was a kid. I remember going there. I remember going there when I was like 10, 11, 12 years old in the late 70s. I remember taking my dad would take us to a game, whatever, once or twice a year. I remember watching those games. No. No. Okay. Now, do I think he would be a really good player? Yes, I do. You know why I think he'd be a really good player? Because when you are an elite talent, you it doesn't matter what era you play in. Do I think he would compete? Yes. Do I think the way that they play, knowing very well that a 7 foot power forward guy dribbling the basketball in that era, that wasn't happening, Mo. Okay. Do I think if you put a lot of these players in that era with their style, thinking that they're going to shoot threes, Mo, there were no threes. And that guys are just going to be shooting fadeaway jump shots? No, it's not happening. That's not how the game was played. That's not how the game was taught. Those weren't the offenses systems that they were accustomed to playing with at that particular time. But if you just want to play the magical game of just saying, I'm just gonna magically put somebody in the 70s from the year 2025 and then allow them to play while everyone else is just looking around going, oh, who is this guy? Okay, that's a fun game, but that's fantasy. Those are fantasy sports. Some of us played in the 70s and in the 80s. We saw Connie Hawkins. We saw Spencer Haywood. We saw these players. Giannis isn't a new player that's never been seen before. We've seen these level of athletes. Believe it or not, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Nate Thurman, Wilt Chamberlain, these guys were elite level athletes. Bill Russell. I know we think we're the first ones to do it, though people were dunking. They banned dunking in college because Kareem was that good. Okay. So all of these things that you're saying, they're fun to say. But Mo, it's like some of us were there.
I have a question. And I thought about this a fair amount, maybe more than a
Okay.
reasonable person should think about this.
Okay. All right.
If I was a coach of the Bucks, right? Not the head coach, but I'm like a development coach, whatever.
Okay.
I would just spend all day, every day getting Giannis to practice the skyhook.
For what? Why?
To score the basketball. It's an unstoppable move. With him and his frame and his athleticism, if he mastered that move in any era.
You're losing the context of why the skyhook was in the first place. The real discussion is, what's the difference between a trainer and a coach? A coach is concerned with five players in the team, and the trainer is only concerned with one.
Yes.
Okay. This is now we have trainers influencing the game. We are concerned about the team. The skyhook, one of the reasons the skyhook was because of what I said earlier. He was not allowed to dunk. They passed a rule that said he has such an unfair advantage that we're going to take away dunking. So if we want to develop another way to score, just take away dunking from the NBA. Oh, is that why Wilt Chamberlain had the finger roll? That's why they call him the Big Dipper. Some of these guys are so good, it's hard to even fathom. Well, Giannis is so good, we got to change the rules, or else we'll never be able to play a game against them. That's basically what they did for Kareem. Okay, do you understand? Do you
No, I
understand?
understand. I know what
Okay.
happened.
Oh,
I
okay.
know what
Okay. Well,
happened.
if we know
This
what
is not
happened,
new.
then because Kareem was so dominant.
Okay, but even when they were allowed to dunk, he was still using the skyhook.
Oh, okay. Mo, in order for us to develop this level of player, we have to have a system in play that would encourage players to figure out how to play the game the way the game was played back then. You're not playing from the post. You don't do that anymore.
Okay,
Let's move on.
but this is what I'm saying. Why not? Like we saw a guy in
I'm gonna tell you
Kareem.
why. I'm gonna
And
tell you why. I'm
let
gonna
me
tell
finish
you
what
why
I'm
not.
saying. Let me finish what I'm saying. We saw a guy in Kareem set a record that no one thought would be broken in the all-time leader in points. Obviously, that's been broken now, but he scored a significant amount of points. And obviously, scored points is not the be-all and end-all of everything. We saw him have an insanely successful career. With this move that he had, that nobody, maybe with the exception of Wilt Chamberlain a couple of times, could ever stop. Okay. Why would you not try and get Giannis to add that to his bag? I'm not saying every possession trying to hit a sky hook, but come on. Why has no one gone for it?
Because Mo, you have pace. The game is played differently. The coaching philosophies are different. The movement of the athletes are different. It's a different game. It's different. You're not gonna sit here and put Giannis on the box. The rules are different. Double teaming is different. The way you can defend on the post is different. All of these things are different now. And with that, Mo, you have to evolve. Giannis is playing the way Giannis should play. If Kareem was playing in this era, he would play different. He'd probably be shooting threes. He probably would. He could shoot. Why wouldn't he shoot two or three times? I'm watching Walker Kessler and these guys shoot threes. Well, why wouldn't he shoot a three? Here's a guy that scored 38,000 with 1 point. Give him a second option now. He can shoot a three. So he probably would have 45,000 points. So the game is different. We have to move on. You don't, this is what bothers me about the fadeaway shot. Why did the fadeaway shot come into play?
It's a
Because
counter.
the defense. Because you had to figure out a way to create space with the shot clock. You didn't shoot a fadeaway because that was a move. You shot a fadeaway because you were just trying to find space on the floor. Great players need operating space. They need space vertically, they need space on the floor, and you have to create space. The reason the sky, one of the reasons the sky hook was so effective is was because it created space between you and the defender, which made it nearly impossible to defend or block because of the positioning of the ball when he began that move. That's you're not doing it for any other reason other than you have to find space. Kareem found space on the floor to operate, and no one was able to crowd that space. Wilt Chamberlain did it. I remember Ralph Sampson, maybe a few times, may have blocked it. Maybe Hakeem Olajuwon. Maybe there are a few people. But overall, he found a move. That was his signature move. Most great players have a signature move. And the signature move is always to create space within the scheme of any defensive era, right? Because everyone is always watching film. What's the first thing? Well, we got to watch the film to kind of figure it out, try to break down the space. You know, we say the same thing. This isn't new. The sky hook created space. That's what it did. Now, why does Giannis need that now? He doesn't need that. What does he need that for? I'm gonna throw it to Giannis, and let's start cutting. And let me look at the cutters, and then take one dribble, take a look, take another dribble, take a look, and then I'm gonna do. So why is he shooting a sky hook over Grant Williams? For what?
Easy 2 points.
Okay, well, he's got an easy 2 points by just bumping the guy off and dunking on him. Same. What's the difference? Why does Giannis in today's game need to have a sky hook? What's the why?
It'd be
I don't
fun to
see
see.
Wilt Chamberlain out there blocking shots. I don't see Kareem Abdul-Jabbar out there blocking shots. Now, if you're playing against Hakeem Olajuwon or someone like that, well, he's probably going to have to develop another move because he's playing against another level of athlete. He probably can't just dunk on Wembanyama like we saw. Okay, so the game participates in how the players play. That's why would Wembanyama be shooting a skyhook for what? There's probably only one other player that can affect the shot. That's Bol Bol. So there you go. So we answer these questions. But then we want to put a move on something. For what? What's your why? Why would a great player need a fadeaway shot if no one can block his shot? No, just shoot up, just jump over and shoot over the top of him. Why fade away? If you can't block my shot, well, why am I fading away? Oh, well, that's just the move.
Looks nice.
Okay, well, hey, if you're an entertainer, then entertain. I'm just going to use what I need to get the job done. I'm not going to do it because I want it to look good. I understood why Kareem did it. It made sense. I understood, when I watched Karl Malone play. It made sense when I watched Moses Malone play. It made sense.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. When teams play against the Bucks, they like to create the wall, as they say, to guard Giannis to stop him from attacking downhill. So,
Yes.
the reason why I suggested that is to just add some extra versatility to his offensive repertoire so that if he is frequently being confronted by this wall and not able to get to the spots he wants to get to on a downhill drive, he has something that
That's
he
called
can.
passing the ball. That's all it is. That's all it is. So they're creating a wall. Well, they can't create a wall if he passed the ball. We've seen that, Mo. Okay. We've seen guys, believe it or not, there were great players before Giannis. And believe it or not,
Some of those teams created walls. Some of those teams actually had rules against great players. And they've all discovered the following. Passing the ball breaks down whatever defensive scheme you're running. Why? Because the ball can move faster than you can move. So if Giannis is dribbling the ball and you create a wall, Giannis, just pass the ball. Simple. Next question. Next question. If they're double teaming you, there's a player right now that does it. Jokic, just pass the ball. That's it. If you're going to be a great
So
player, you can't be a great player without passing.
when you watch the Bucks play and you do see the possessions that Giannis gets a post up and you see that he likes to go to a turnaround fadeaway shot. Right, you've seen this. Everyone who's watched the Bucks has seen this. It might not be on the highlights, but if you watch the games, you see it, right? He likes that little turnaround off the post. Would you not rather see a hook shot instead of the turnaround fadeaway?
If that's his game, if that's his game and that's his move,
No, but what
I
I'm
want
saying
I
is someone
what I,
has
this is
taught him to do that.
no, Giannis. No, that teaching stuff is overrated too. How are you going to teach a man with his talent how to play? Let's stop with all this teaching stuff. How are you going to teach a person? Now, can you give them, if you are a teacher, and to protect everyone, I have been around some of the greatest coaches to ever coach this game. There's only one thing that you can share with another person is to equip that player with the necessary skills to function and operate under duress in a hostile environment. That's called fundamentals. If you equip your players with the fundamentals of the game, you give them options. That's called a counter to everything that you do. If someone is sitting on my left shoulder, I'm supposed to go right. Why? Because I have a skill set to do that. If someone takes that away, I should be able to drop step and finish. If someone takes away and crowds me, I should be able to go around them. So when I see coaches, teachers who equip their players with the fundamentals to counter anything and everything you do, that's excellence at its elite level. You become a master of your craft. When you have a set move that you're going to do because somebody taught you and told you this is what you're supposed to do when you catch the ball. Yeah, okay. That doesn't bother me. Where I get excited is when I see players who have the fundamentals. Their footwork is so elite that they can counter anything you do defensively because they got a counter to it. So I love players that are fundamentals. If you're taking away the middle, shouldn't he shoot the fadeaway jump shot? Because we know if he does get to the middle, more times than not, he's probably going to score. So why would I force him into a move where the defense is saying, no, we're taking that away? This is basketball. These are human beings. This isn't a video game. So the fundamentals that I'm seeing Giannis utilize on a night-to-night basis, that's pretty amazing that a seven-footer has this level of footwork and all of the things, because he was getting criticized because he didn't have what you guys call it now. He doesn't have the bag or whatever you guys call
That's what
it.
the kids say.
Yeah. But when you look at his footwork, when you look at his skill set and the mixture of power and grace and fundamentals, man, it's pretty amazing to watch him play.
Giannis, one of my favorite players.
Okay. Now, if he was playing with a Kareem, if he was Kareem was playing with Magic Johnson, he played with Oscar Robertson. And if I had a 6'8", 6'9" point guard that was throwing the ball to me over the top, that's a different game. If I was playing with James Worthy and all these other guys and playing the style of play, he would play a different game. He would be a different player. Why? Because he has the fundamentals to do that. But I can assure you, if he played in the 70s, because let's go back to that, he wouldn't be playing the power forward position. And if we recall and go back in history, right? Because we can revisit now because of film. We don't have real to real like we did back then. Giannis was playing the point guard. Mm. I never saw Kareem doing that. But I have seen a guy 7 foot lead the league in assists. His name was Will Chamberlain. But I've never seen a 7 foot point guard like we do with Giannis. I never saw Kareem saying, hey, Kareem, let's build a wall on Kareem as he's pushing the ball up the court. I never saw that. So all of these things that people are saying, there's a difference between the fan and then there's a difference between a person who's actually studying the game. I want to know why. The why for me is everything. I'm not just doing this to like, oh, well, and then I'm going to go downstairs and teach. I'm going to go teach my 9-year-old a fadeaway jump shot. For what? What are you fading away from? Person. what are you doing? What are you guys doing?
No, I need that like, on a quote. I need that on a quote.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
What are you fading away from?
What are you fading away from? Yeah, this whole thing now of not emphasizing the fundamentals of the game is why we're in these positions. Because we're talking about something that doesn't exist. Giannis, if they're taking away the middle, I would hope that that young man has a fadeaway to counter that. So that way, when he starts making that move, they'll say, well, what can I do against him? Isn't that the goal? When you know that you've mastered a skill where the defense is at your mercy. Isn't that why we admire the greatest players to ever play? Because they've mastered the counter to everything that you can do against them.
Mm-hmm.
Or do we just want to say, hey, just shoot the sky hook every single time. And if you don't let me do it, I'm just going to keep trying. No. You guys, I grew up in a different era. I was very fortunate to grow up in the era where actually the coaches equipped me with the skill set to be able to think for myself. Last thing, how am I going to teach a person with that level of excellence, that level of talent, and then tell them how they should play? And I've never done it myself. I'm going to go in there and start telling Larry Bird how he should shoot. I'm going to tell Larry Bird, I'm going to go in there. I'm going to go to San Francisco, fly up there and say, Steph Curry, this is how you should shoot. I'm a pro. I'm a professional. And now I'm taking advice for someone who's never done it. What?
Well, that's what everyone seems to be doing these days.
Hey. Mo, I'm a pro now, and I'm taking advice from someone who's never done it.
Well, that's what everyone in the league is doing these days.
Hey, I don't know what everyone's doing. I'm just asking the question, because as a former professional player, if you haven't done it, why am I listening to you?
Well, hopefully I want to know. When
someone tells me something, if someone tells me something, first of all, what's your credibility to even say that to me? I'm a pro. What's your credibility?
Are you asking me?
I'm asking if I'm a professional player, Mo, you are a starting power forward in the NBA. What's your credibility to tell you what you should be doing versus Giannis if you haven't done it? Because that's what I see.
Well, that would then mean there's only about 50 people on earth that could tell Giannis anything.
Well, maybe that's why people on earth could tell him anything ever. And maybe that's why the game looks the way it looks. And maybe that's why, okay, the great ones always seek other players. Maybe that's why the late Kobe Bryant he knew what he wanted to see, and he sought people who had done it. That's called a mentor. Why are you seeking someone who's never done what you want to do? So I want to be a great golfer. So let me ask the hockey players how that works. I want to be a doctor. Well, let me go ask
But I mean, that's
the
not
pilot.
quite what they're doing. That's not
Well, I'm
quite
not
what they're
saying that what
doing.
they're doing. I'm just saying, logically, why would you not go seek someone who's done what you want to do and ask them their experience to share with you how they... I want to be a scorer, but I'm going to go ask Charles Oakley, how do you score? Why wouldn't I ask George Gervin? And vice versa. George, hey, tell me how to rebound. Well, that's not what... That wasn't his expertise. This whole thing doesn't make sense to me. Why would... you want to play from the low box? Why wouldn't you talk to Karl Malone? Well, let me go.
I know
let me
why
go.
I wouldn't.
Whatever. Whatever it is. Why wouldn't you talk to Charles Barkley? Why wouldn't you talk to the greatest...
Well, if you
some
look
of the
at
greatest
it...
players... Why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't you do that?
LeBron, Kobe, even Dwight Howard, they all went to learn from Hakeem Olajuwon how to play on the post. Or
okay,
Kyrie, Kawhi, Jason Tatum, they all went to Kobe Bryant to learn how to master the footwork and score the basketball.
Okay.
So
and then who did he go ask? And then who did that guy, Jordan, ask? So we know the formula. So why are all of a sudden now we're going to trainers? We know the formula. I could tell you what Jordan did, who he asked, and who taught him.
You asking me questions? I don't know.
Exactly. So why now are we asking players or asking people who've never participated? Well, you have a trainer who... think about this. And I don't have anything against the trainers or anything. I don't have anything against any. Go get your information where you want to get it from. Just verify it before you get it, though. Why would you not reach out to people who've done what you're trying to do? Just give me a logical reason. If you want to do something and you have an opportunity to do it at an elite level, why would you not search that information to someone who's experienced exactly what you're looking out to do? Why would you? If you
right.
wanted to be, if you want to be a general manager, Mo, why wouldn't you reach out to someone who's done it? If you wanted to be a head coach, why wouldn't you surround yourself with former head coaches who've done it so that you can absorb as much knowledge and information as you can? If you wanted to be a referee, why wouldn't you do that? Whatever you want to do, why wouldn't you put yourself in an environment with people who've done what you're trying to do? Why wouldn't you do that?
I don't know. You asking me? I don't know.
Well, this is this, yeah. This is why.
This
why
is what I
you?
Do. I do this anyway. So
yeah.
I don't know what other people are doing. I can only speak.
You want to you want to be the greatest player. Let's say you had a goal. You wanted to be the greatest player of all time. Why wouldn't you go to talk to people who've been in that conversation? If that's what you're trying to do,
Michael probably wouldn't pick up the phone to me. I ain't gonna lie.
Well, I can assure you this. I've never seen the man dodge any of the action.
And
so he would
fact.
pick it up. So he would pick it up. But the real question is, are you going to make the commitment to do it? Do you have the talent to do it?
At 30 years old and a little bit overweight, BJ, I think I'm way past the point of becoming the best
so,
man in the world.
Okay, then. So then, there you go.
That's another episode of the Hoop Genius podcast. Appreciate you as always, BJ. Make sure you guys subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. It is sadly too late for me to seek out the guidance of Michael Jordan and become the best player in the world myself. However, it is not too late to continue having the best basketball podcast in the world, which is what we've been doing for 658 episodes, and we're going to keep continuing to do. So lock in with us because the playoffs are almost here. And, you know, I don't think you're going to find a better basketball show out there. So I hope you enjoyed that today.
And by the way, Mo, by the way, before I let you go, you know, you were asking about the why. Okay. You were asking the why. And here is the difference between what we do here and what other people are doing. When you start talking about greatness and people start talking about great players and all these things, Mo, I take this very serious of what I do. Yes, I would love to be a fan, but I learned a long time it's impossible for me to be a fan because I can't help but technically look at the game from the lens of saying the why.
I hear that.
Okay. And I really wish I could just go to the game and become a fan and
No,
hear. But
once you
I
see it, you can't unsee it.
you can't unsee it. Every day, Mo, I spend a portion of my day understanding why things are the way they are and what I'm looking at. Because people love to make these arguments, you know, new school, old school, this guy, this generation, 70s, 40s, 50s, whatever it is you're going. You know, Mo, you asked a very important question about Giannis earlier today. I spend, Mo, all of my day. It's here. I can't help myself. Every play that I've ever encountered in my career, I spend learning why that play works or why that play did work. Okay? These are just some of the scouting reports that I was just recently looking at. Okay? Some of my favorite coaches of all time, okay, Mo, are right here in a book.
You're giving away too many secrets right now, B.
No. Because I want you to know the difference between me, take your entertainment and entertain yourself. But when I say something, it's not what I say, it's what I don't say, because I know what you're saying and I know why you're saying it. I respected those coaches in the 70s. You know why I respected them more? It's because they ushered in the 80s. And you know why I respected the coaches in the 80s? Because they ushered in the 90s. And you know, when you watch these players play, Mo, you have to respect the people that continues to push the game forward so that you can see a player like a Giannis. And you respect it because, Mo, we saw Ralph Sampson. If Ralph Sampson was playing in this era, he would be Victor Wembanyama because he was before Victor Wembanyama. And there's been players before him. When you play, you find out, Mo, why you play. Why you play, Mo, is because you want to win. Okay? Okay? This is when I played for the Orlando Magic, when I played for Chuck Daly. I got all of the scouting reports when Chuck Daly was with the Pistons. Okay? I got every single thing from every coach, what they've done since like the 80s, Mo.
Well,
All of these things that people are talking about. It's one thing to have an opinion and you do these hot takes and all these things. That's for the entertainment. Okay, Mo, when you understand that half of the championships since like the 90s have involved literally one system of play.
oh, we're gonna get it's we gonna save that for a whole nother episode.
No,
No, we're gonna
we're
save that
not.
for a whole nother
Okay.
episode.
Okay. And Mo, before you start talking about who's gonna score 200 points or whatever, you better develop a system of play that's going to promote that level of excellence, because no one's ever done that, just playing one-on-one basketball. When you say the why, you got to say the why to me, because technically speaking, I only deal with the facts. I don't deal with the opinions. I deal with the facts. The facts mean we got to verify it. So that's the difference. And this is why I carry this game with so much respect. I respect these coaches. I respect those trainers. I respect the coaches,
The players.
players, everybody, because Mo, this is you just don't have excellence. It just doesn't like show up and you just do it. These people are putting in their some of these people have dedicated their life to this. I happen to be one of those people. So when you start saying things, just be respectful on what you're saying and verify it, because some of us when I leave here, I'm going to go engulf myself again in all of this stuff because, Mo, it's not enough for me just to watch the game. When I watch the Lakers, I want to know why. I want to know why. It wasn't enough for me to watch the game last night, the Miami Heat versus the Golden State. Warriors. I had to know why. Or, yeah, the Golden State Warriors. I want to know why. And when you say that, and then when you say these things, Mo.
I say nothing. I'm just quoting.
No, no. We can quote, but there's a difference between us. Because we can allow the other people to be who they are. But if you want to know the why, that's why we come here. Because we respect the listener. Yeah. The listeners want to understand the why. You got Allen Iverson. Why was he so good? Well, you can tell me. Yeah, he had a crossover. But why?
Yeah,
why?
This is why it's important to have these conversations, because as ridiculous as they may seem
from the outset,
that all these guys are going to score 170 points.
At some point, we will, and then I'll let it go. At some point, we should go over why the game is the way it looks now.
We will. We will.
Because all of this stuff, Mo, and I know the coaches, they will recognize some of these things, because some of these things I've been holding on since the 80s. Because as much as this generation thinks the game has changed, no, it hasn't.
Absolutely. If anyone needs to find me this summer after the season ends, I will be in BJ's house reading through all of those files that you've just seen. Thank you very much in advance, BJ. We appreciate the knowledge, and we'll be back tomorrow with another episode. We've got to wrap this one up right here. I'm sure we could continue for hours, but we've got to keep this show on the road. And we'll be back tomorrow with another episode. So subscribe. And if you are subscribed, turn on the notification bell so that you do not miss an episode of the best basketball show in the world. Until next time, BJ, appreciate you. Get buckets.